over against this contrast, the words of a man come out of his speech. And the wellspring of wisdom is important for the verse number 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit forever.
Amen.
I'd like to speak to you tonight on the triumphs and the tragedies of the time. The only way I know to handle any problem is to exhaust yourself. Sometimes we preachers, I've not had that much. I mentioned the word Christian, and you went on. That's that. Our Baptists do that. Our Baptists always say that. But then we skins, don't care about skin, just so you don't believe it. God bless you. So I'd like to talk a little bit about tongues. How many believe in me in tongues?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Tongue talking, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Except one part. I remember one person here when I first came. You have to sing a song here. Tongues out of religion, I'm free. But yet, didn't you have a hold of it? Not very long. Oh, no. God will lose your tongue. You were speaking.
Yes, all right.
We speak in a beautiful language. This is a church that believes in that.
Right.
We don't buy records to learn how to speak in tongues.
No.
We don't follow after anybody's coached words or phrases.
Amen.
We must say.
Come on.
We get ourselves all tangled up so we don't say any words without any intelligence. We believe that the Holy Ghost comes upon a person's life.
And yes.
All of their tongues. You must be a test of spirit.
Yep.
And then he will be praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe there's many tongues to consider. Paul had this in mind when he wrote to us here in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 10. If we lay a little foundation. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. Praise God. Many voices. And these, I might submit this thought. There are other tongues. Other tongues. And God uses other tongues.
Yeah.
He Balaam's ass. He was a rooster one time. Sure he did. The morning star sang together. It mentions in the Canticles of Song of Solomon that the voice of the turtle dove would be heard in the land, and throughout this entire century, the cooing of heaven's dove has been heard. I'm sorry for that which is false, an imitation of the real, but there was a time, even in the Trinity Church, when you could receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody gets it there now. You say, well, brother, be careful what you're saying. No, there is a false spirit. Because if you get this Holy Ghost, it'll make you want to do it this Bible.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
It'll make you want to leave a church that can't feed you. And it's full of false doctrine and
all right.
Sin. And so on. It'll make you want a God called leader. And I thank God for these voices there. We read over here in Kings about the still, small voice. And God does do that, too. You see, to everything, God gives a voice. Sometimes speak of the whispers of the wind, or the sighing of the wind, or we might talk about the sea, the roaring of the sea, or the sobbing of the sea. There's many voices. The fish, they find, and they're training of them. They find that they understand certain signals and sounds, and we find that they communicate one to another. Birds do the same. If you don't believe that, try going dove hunting or duck hunting down south. Or get out in the woods and listen to the turkeys or some other bird. They'll not only alarm and alert one another, but anything else around.
All right.
Animals do have voices. They do. Fish, owl, whatever they are. But these are ways that God has tried to get to us and reach us. And so God has given a little instrument to a human being, a little tongue. The tongue is a delightful thing. Through it, by it, we express the sentiments of our heart. I think this is such a beautiful way to express our feelings. A man is the only creature here that's able to think and act and react like this. Not so much as natural, but we analyze. God gave us, he just gave us words. And of course, these are the vehicles of thought. God gave you words. And this means that you can say, you can tell what's on the inside. Sometimes wish our animals could talk to us. Or do I? Sometimes I would like to know why the dogs don't seem to be acting good. But they'll just look at you and wag their tail anyhow and limp around or sit way down, but they have a problem. Yet we can't reach them. But you and I have unlimited possibilities made available to us because of the expression here with words.
All right.
With our tongue. The wise man also wrote over here in Proverbs again, the tongue of the just is a choice silver. Note, in 12 and 18, he said the tongue of the wise is health. He said in 15 and 4, Proverbs, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You want to find what Adam lost? Try wholesomeness. 21 and 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Praise God for that. And so, if you're having a lot of trouble, why don't you try keeping your tongue?
Oh,
watching your mouth.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That'll be a real blessing to you.
Yes, sir.
Everybody in your family will rise up and call you blessed. Find that people will be able to trust you.
Come on.
And place confidence in you.
Amen.
You just do that. Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. This has been a favorite of mine, and this is yours too throughout the years. But isn't the good word always a lovely thing at the right time?
Amen.
All right.
You know, we try to somehow express it. If we can't do it of our own ability, we'll go and fetch a car or something, and then we'll send someone else who has to voice the words in such a lovely verse or a poem or whatever it is. We'll just give it to someone, and we'll sign our name to it, but we mean what that says. And we always want to tell people what we think of them. But you better hurry if you have such thoughts. If everybody would do that, we'd have a better world. Don't just think it, just say it.
Amen.
It makes it makes the lines in a tired face disappear. The stoop in weary shoulders, it makes them straight again. And the sag in knees that are unsteady, somehow they firm up when they find your little word of encouragement. It's a beautiful thing to have wholesome words. And apples of gold are they, and pictures of silver. Praise God for it. And Job said it right when he said, the ear tried words. And you'd be surprised at how much you say that, I know it falls to the ground, it's just senseless. But every now and then, I find that I receive so much help and comfort and strength just from a right word at the right time. Oh God. I wish I had the ability to speak the right word just at the right time. I can look back on my past and see that sometimes I have failed to say what I felt on my heart. And maybe they appeared to be too busy and rushed about. But you don't know how much people need just what you can give. And this is true. I'm sure that there's a groaning world. The scripture says the whole creation is groaning. And I'm sure the thing they need most is that proper word. Praise God. I have seen many problems and struggles down the years.
and they belong to not only individual families, but church families. I have been a troubleshooter throughout my ministry. I've been a spiritual plumber. I've had to handle a lot of problems, but I'll tell you what, I have found that a soft answer turns away right. I found that out. I found that many lives have been spared because of the right word. And many friendships have been yet cemented fast because of the right word. Marriages were saved from the brink of severance just before, as they term in our day in modern vernacular, they slipped above the blanket. Before, they just went their several ways, maybe just a little word. Just, would you forgive me? Just, I was wrong. Just, I'm sorry.
All right.
But I promise to dedicate and re-give myself to God and to man. Just, that means so much. Just the right word. I realize the woman has a choice of scripture here in the Bible. It says that her hair is given to her for her glory. Well, I'll tell you something else that's given to each of us for our glory, and that's our tongue. We can glorify God with that.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for such a revelation, such a blessing. Let your life be a benediction. And if you can say that right word, just the good word, it's the highest form of expression you can have. You don't realize perhaps what good your words can do.
All right.
They can change nations. You see, men realize the power of the word. And statesmen get into office because of that. And Hitler could so arouse the nation. There's a paper hanger that came along, and he got involved here in the Gestapo and all, and he ascended to the highest office, and he took charge of it all, too. And when he got up there, he was able to so arouse people by his oratory. He drove them. As a matter of fact, he drove them to such a fury that they believed they were the supreme race on earth. And he was unstoppable. Mm-hmm. He had England on his knees and the rest of the world backed up against the wall.
That's right.
And in those times, they had others like Churchill, one of Orson, our old president here at the time, Roosevelt, and so on. Or we could talk about MacArthur as he had to leave the Philippines and in disgrace almost. Thrust off of Corregidor, the island, and he had to leave. They didn't have the men and the weapons to withstand this sustained attack from the enemy, who had momentum going at the time. But he said, "I shall return." But he inspired all of our men in the Pacific Theater at that time, simply because of the courage he displayed and the convincing manner in which he spoke. Praise the Lord. And so there's so much we can do with the word. If you don't believe it, ask any child. The comfort, the strength, the healing power of a mother's word. As she cradles her child, or puts him in the lap and talks to him. And or the soft hand just upon the fevered brow. Somehow it's better than all the prescriptions and all the doctors. Praise the Lord. And I wish that we would learn this. I really wish we would. And it's a shame that we don't, but there's so much comfort in that. So much help. I thank God for the inspiration. I thank God for the help I get from wise people. Wise words they tell me. I have a friend out west. He always says, "Brother Ballinger, talk to me, give me some wisdom." No. We learn things, obedience through the things we suffer. I can give you some knowledge, but only God can help you understand what to do with it. After you get it, there's nothing else I can do. But I'm bringing this thought to you here tonight. Now remember that in your own mouth, You hold the power of life or death.
Right.
Your marriage, your life, your happiness, your salvation, everything about you, remember, you're the keeper of the key. You've got it right now. And if you lose out, I'm not going to be to blame, and no one else. Quit blaming anyone else, and remember that you have the key to your dilemma.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. No one can make you backslide from me. No preacher said, he run me off. He, no. You are your own problem.
Right.
Amen.
Now, what comes out of here is your business. You hate that. But if you don't learn how to control that, then remember, you're going to have the problem, and you're going to deal with it. Praise the Lord.
All right.
So, I'm bringing these little thoughts to you. I trust it somehow. I'm still so. Maybe I'll do that. You think that would help me? All right. Praise the Lord. One brother started out so slow the other day. We could turn him on fast forward and come out good. But
come on.
Many years ago, the man in the Seamless Road walked. He walked the shores of that small little area called Palestine. And you know, when people heard him speak, it changed the whole picture. They forgot what they were doing. When the gracious words fell from his lips, a woman cried out once and said, "Blessed are the paths that thou hast sucked." And he said, "Yea, blessed is the word of God that they that keep."
Hallelujah.
You see, here was heaven's word that walked among men.
Amen.
And everywhere he went, deaf ears were unstopped. Crooked limbs were made straight. Diseased bodies instantly healed.
Amen.
Those who were in the throes of an awful fever and sickness or ague, at the sound of the word, just a word, sent here, the effect of the power of that word reached them over there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And dispelled all their problems instantly because he was the word that spake this whole universe into existence.
Oh, yeah.
All right. There's power in the word.
Power.
If we could understand the power of the word, we claim to be apostolic people, and we have forgotten some of the initial seeds they sowed in our hearts in our young church days when men made much of the name of Jesus. Much of the power of that name.
Oh, yeah.
They cast out devils in that name.
Yeah.
All
right.
Praise God. They prayed for the sick in that name. I remember had a young boy call me, received the Holy Ghost just coming off the streets. And he called me, he said, "I feel good about this, I just feel so odd, so strange." I said, "Where are you?" "Well," he said, "I'm here at my father's house." I said, "Who else is there?" He said, "I have this voice that's talking to me. I have, there's something driving me." He said, "I feel odd, weird." I said, "Who's there?" He named his name. I said, "Has he ever been acquainted with spiritualism in any way?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Get out of there!" And I said, when you these things begin to come to your mind and deal with your heart, you need to know what it's like to plead the blood.
Amen.
That's
right.
If you let the devil, he'll take you by the nose of the ear and keep you around. Don't you know how to fight for your own soul? Haven't you learned the power of the name of Jesus?
Yes.
Dallas or someplace else, Mexico, or on the radio, or I don't listen to it. But do you suppose that they have all the keys to this? They don't even know what the keys are all about.
All right.
All they want is the keys to their post office box. Are a trophy of his grace. all brought about because somebody preached to you this word.
Thank God.
You are not the product of something out there.
That's right.
There was no hippie music, no rock and roll thing that captured your heart.
No.
Any speaker here, any gifted person of song or speech making from the world without any dedication, that's not what brought me in. And I heard some good ones years ago. I mean, as far as ability was concerned, I remember listening to Charles Price. Never preached the same sermon twice in his life. He hasn't dead yet. Every time he got up to speak, there's something to hear. And I've heard some fine speakers, but that don't mean anything. No, I'm glad for the time somebody preached to me. All I heard was what God appeared to me.
Yeah.
And this skinny boy at that time got down in Fresno, California, and bowed his knees and said, God, I'm done. I'm done. It's been a long time ago now, but I want heaven to know I'm still through. And I want hell to know that I'm done too.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just thankful that somebody spoke. And it caused me to trust. Praise God. I also bring to my ears tonight the scripture so here in the book of Psalms, 141st division of Psalms, verses 3 and 4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to do any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainty. Let me speak a little now in the praise of the Son. Praise the Lord. I don't mind telling you there are many, many things that I have found in my life that I regret. But I have been party to. I have aided and abetted a lot of tongue talking that was not for those of us. Praise the Lord. You're not here to be yet, but you're going to walk out of here.
Go ahead, Elton.
All right.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen to what the man of God said. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth.
Yes.
What are you keeping? You better watch your mouth.
All right.
This is a fine lesson here to talk. Here's your little, this is really a little missionary conference to have a good winter. And maybe we should be speaking missions, but I'm going to talk about the most important problem we have in any of our churches, organizations, fellowships, or anything else, and that is a tongue out of control.
Amen.
And I want you to make up your mind tonight whether you are going to aid and abet hell or are you going to speak for God.
All right.
Make up your mind what side you want to be on. Because I promise, if you don't want to give your heart and your mouth and tongue to God, you're going to give it to the devil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
You say, well, Brother Ballester, what? How can I set a watch? Well, this is why you need to be careful. People think talk is cheap. And they think it's just easy just to go along and say what they want. I gave them a piece of my mind. Name me a sin that isn't accomplished without the help of your tongue.
All right.
I see. There may be one. I don't know. But I'm asking somebody to jar my memory here. Praise the Lord. Let me talk to you about this tongue and what it'll do. I'm sorry that these things get to us sometimes, but God knows we've had a lot of problems. We used to talk about runaway horses last century, then runaway autos after they came, but have you ever heard of a runaway tongue?
Yeah.
A tongue out of control is ample evidence of a life out of control. And you don't go to heaven unless you have some restrictions of government about you. Unless you have proper possession of your faculties. And if you can't take charge of
Amen.
Well, how is it? You're going to be speaking.
Right.
Yes.
Glory. Praise the Lord. I'm sure there's been more people killed by a runaway tongue than they had runaway horses or runaway owls.
All right.
We talk about hit and run that goes on in Pentecostal churches all the time. We've got the best grapevine than anybody's Pentecostal group.
Amen.
No matter where you are, you look around. You say, Brother Bowser, people call me. They call me, say, Brother Bowser, have you heard the latest? I'm not on anybody's grapevine. I'm the last one in my church to know what's going on. The last one in our little fellowship to know what's going on. You say, well, how come? Because I'm not anxious to know. People find
all right, it. All right.
You know why people like to come to you? Because perhaps you have an ear that's so ready to hear. Praise the Lord. I've been cleaning my ears out every day.
All right.
That's what was nice before. Praise the Lord. Be anxious for something. Now, now knows what it said. Tell watch by your mouth. There's a reason for that. If you don't watch, you'd be surprised what you'd be prompted to say. And the sweetest peace in a home can be, it can be a boiling, burning cauldron in just a little while because of some hasty, loud, angry
word. That's right.
That's so sad. A few years ago, a number of years ago now, maybe a score of years, now that I think of it, Reader's Digest had an article about Westinghouse's invention. And it mentioned in there that they turned this machine on, and they said, you will soon be able to hear the Gettysburg Address. You will hear even the words of Christ hanging on the cross. Those seven words, or any other event in history, because every word that men speak is still in existence. When you talk, you say, well, nobody heard that. I was in the room, or around in back, or across town, but it's still there. Those vibrations are yet in existence.
Yeah.
Pulsating, going on and on and on and on. It mentioned even that they turned the radio on and heard a program. And you know they have a chart of every program that is broadcast every day. And here was one that had been broadcast 8 years previous. Had not been duplicated nowhere. And yet when they turned it on, why, here it came in over the airway. 8 years later, it came back again. You say, how can that be? I'm telling you what the article said. And it says, every word we say is out there. Meet yourself, friend, at the judgment seat. Jesus said, every idle word.
Yeah. Amen.
And a man speaks. He is going to give an answer for at the day of judgment.
Amen.
You say, well, words are cheap. No, they're costly.
Yeah.
And your words are going to deliver you or they're going to damn you.
Right.
And that's why you have to be careful what you say. You can't afford to be that reckless I'm talking about tonight. You're having the power of life or death in the tongue. And if you ever need to be careful and choosy of how you talk, you better do it now as close as we are to the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
I have a phone going to reach you here just a minute or two. But I want each one of you to consider what this preacher's telling you.
Amen.
Now, I pastored this church for a few years, and I did my best. I want to thank you for your cooperation. And, I will say that you are very thoughtful, considerate people. I thank you for that. I appreciate all the thoughtful things they did. I remember the cakes we would have and the surprise of party they would give for me. It made me feel really, really touched inside. I cannot express myself in the way that my wife does, but I feel deeply. I really do. And I think after it's over, I go home and I think about it. You don't know how I bless the saints. I really do. And I thank God for each one of them. And I look at them and their pitiful problems, and it touches me. I want everybody helped and blessed. I remember there was 9 even in this church. They want to get a prediction. There's God here. Lord, get him out. You said, that's why you know. I'm glad to see some people that have enough courage to stand up and say, I don't like you. All right, then I know who you are, where you are. I'll try to swing you. Thank you, my friend. Now, the thing that's hard to take is the people that don't want to show their faith. I'm not worried about the great tribulation. You say, well, they're pretty grim. They can tell you. But at the same time, I'm not worried about that. No, sir, I've had enough tribulation since I've been a preacher to make up for all 7 years, for 70 years, whatever you want to have. Praise the Lord. It would be a pleasure to meet up. A real antagonist out there that is the Antichrist and says, I hate you. And to have whispering words behind your back.
Yeah,
man. Saints have torn up more churches than the real devil ever had.
All right. Yeah, man.
Ain't gonna happen tonight.
Preach it, Elder.
All right.
Come
on. That's why you're all over town and got messed up minds.
Come on.
Because you let the devil use you so much.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, preach, hallelujah, glory!
Praise the Lord.
Say some more.
I don't know what Brother James had to say before reading the poem.
All right.
James says in chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. People don't realize how much damage they can do. Would you, saints, you Pentecostal people, would you learn, please, in the name of Jesus? You cannot build up the church if your tongue isn't sanctified.
Yeah.
All right.
Glory to God, glory to God. Come on.
The tongue is a fire world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members.
All right.
And it defileth the whole body.
Amen.
And set it on fire in the course of nature.
Yes.
And it set on fire of hell. You know why the world's in the midst of it? The tongue did. It sets on fire the course of nature.
Yes.
I mean the whole world suffered because of somebody's mouth.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
It was the devil's mouth that got mad into this mess.
Yeah.
And we got into this mess because he got in our mouth.
Right. Yeah.
That's a real conference.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
This is about time a conference had a St. Speech anyhow.
All right. True.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
And the notion set on fire of hell. What did he talk like that hell then?
Yeah.
Set on fire of hell.
Yeah.
Too hard, man.
Sorry.
Come on.
Couch the words. Hell is the Bible.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I know what it says again. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison.
Yeah.
Boy, when I stopped in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and I said, Mother, I want to buy a new coat. She's a very conservative person. She's an old man. That's just the way you can afford it. No, I said, yes, I have money right here. Well, I said, well, here it is. It's November. Come along. Be closed. No, she said, I'd rather not be going. That's closing time. And so we got out of this apartment store. It's in there in our little mall. And we went out, and this was a Saturday, and we got out and went back to the preaching in the area. So, right after we left, there was a young lady and her mother went to that same rack where I tried to get Mom to put on the cart. And she put on a nice coat before imports from India. And as she did, she thrust her hand into the pocket and took it out here. Pinched here by a pin and stuck, and then blood was there. And reached in again, and he did it again. And she said, I'm comfortable. He took the coat off, began to feel a little odd, and hung it up, walked to the door, and dropped it. And so when they checked the coat, they found it had a small coat in the bottom. And they control everything, change everything. You have been and watched the porpoises and others, the dolphins and whatever it is, and seals perform. But nevertheless, those elephants can be tamed, and chimps and cows and horses. Isn't it odd you can't tame the tongue? Don't you know that there is such a thing as the Holy Ghost to give us power over the tongue?
Yeah,
is it small wonder why God would let that be the evidence of our giving the Holy Ghost?
Right.
And I guess it ought to be evidence of our not
having the Holy Ghost in us when we let our tongues go wild.
All right.
Isn't it strange that you want to church people because of some awful sin, maybe of some moral shocking sin? Here they'll go, and it'll affect their marriage, their home, their family name, their character, and hitch hang low. And then, of course, we will impose upon them such rigid restrictions because of what they fail with. At the same time, we will leave in our services, in our churches, on our platforms, in our pews, and in positions in the assembly, people whose tongues were set on fire of hell.
Yes.
I don't mind telling you, I've never put up with an adulterer.
All right.
I've never put up with a Mary Magdalene. I've never put up with somebody in trouble with God that'll hang their head and beat the grass and say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I want to be saved."
All right.
And to have some person with a tongue out of control. Proceed to blessing and cursing, my brother, of these things, ought not so to be. I have this. Some of you, you're a little afraid to show mercy sometimes. You think the man's a compromise. Let me tell you a secret. I'll be your friend with you.
All right.
Every seven of you will do right.
Yes,
and we can.
Yes, sir.
I'll go to bath for you day or night, any time, anywhere.
Yes, yes, God.
Any time, anywhere.
Amen.
I don't care what you said or done to me. I'm nothing. But I ask one thing. When you come, make sure you're coming.
Yes, sir.
For that old world.
Amen.
Be honest with God. Do what he says.
Right.
I'm just an instrument. And in his hand, you know, I want to be. If I can be of any use to this cause or kingdom, I certainly I offer myself for that.
Thank you.
But we cannot have anything to present to God that he's going to accept unless we want our tongues right.
We're
talking about revival, brethren, isn't it? And when we want to have a real move of God, I'm praying. Well, praying is great. We better pray. The first thing I'm telling you to do is get your tongue right.
Yes.
Learn to speak closely.
Yes.
Learn to bless God.
Right.
Quit barbecuing evangelists and roasting pastors.
Yes,
all right. Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Kiss the Bob and all the saints are out here.
Right.
Yes.
And make sure that when the presence of your child, you lift up Jesus.
Yes.
Let them hear you bless the name of God.
Amen.
Get out on your knees and read the Bible to them. Pray by their bed. Lay hands on them if you have to.
Sure.
Yes.
Praise God. Let them hear the voice of heaven. Don't let it be a shocking thing when suddenly they hear you say, "Praise God."
All right.
I haven't taken out here to put sick. He looked like a man God had in mind when he said, "Let us make man." Took his little old thin wife, he'd come to church with purple marks on his neck where he'd choke her. Little kid, you get him by the hair of the head and beat their heads against the wall. I went to his welding shop. I said, "Look, you, if you get out of that seat and try to run these aisles and walk around here and play the hypocrite tonight, I will throw you out of this church." He said, "Well, you're not big enough." I said, "Oh, I'm not big enough." I said, "Ushers." Praise the Lord. Why? He said, "What are you talking about? I don't want anybody to curse the church. I'm happy."
That's right.
I want God to receive what we're having.
Yeah.
You understand? God will stop his ears.
All right.
At some of our worship.
Amen.
You can force your worship all you want to, but if your tongue's not right and your heart's not right, God hates it.
Amen.
I said, God hates it.
Amen.
Don't you make a hypocrite out of yourself.
Amen.
Now, I want you to use care when you talk about a third person. You start talking about someone, I want you to try to do your best to lift them up and be right. Now, look, if you see a tall fellow ahead of the crowd, a leader of men marching fearless and proud, and you know of a tale who's near telling loud would cause his proud head to an anguish be loud, it's a pretty good plan. If you know of a skeleton hidden away, you can get wrong enough, in a closet and guarded and kept from the day, in the dark whose showing, whose sudden display would cause grief and sorrow and lifelong dismay, it's a pretty good plan for you. If you know of a spot in the life of a friend, we all have spots concealed, world without end, who's touching his heartstrings with sadden or end, 'tis a shame till the shame of its showing no grieving could rend, it's a pretty good plan for you. If you know of a thing that will darken the joy of a man or a woman, a girl or a boy, that will wipe out a smile or the least way annoy a fellow or cause any gladness to cry, it's a pretty good plan to breathe. What you say, preacher? Well, I want to talk to you, minister. If any saint in your church or in your revival, you ever hear of somebody that's coming and bears their heart, so I want to get right with God, and they're sincere, and you'll take their sin and their name and go across this country and blacken their name, you have been become an instrument of the devil, and you have hurt the cause of God.
All right. Come on.
What advantage would it be for a person to repent and then come up and say, I want to get all straightened, and they'd never be able to hold their head high again because somebody wanted to talk? Are you so ignorant? Are you so addle-brained and feeble that you have no other known ability or advantage except some little choosy morsel here that you think would be tasty? Somebody would just relish this little gossip. And maybe that will make you for a moment feel important if you tell it. I wish you'd learned it. Tell about Jesus. I wish you'd learn how to speak encouragement or hope or help. It's a wonder people you know for. Yes. Praise the Lord. Now, I have some more scriptures I'm going to read to you. I'm talking about the fragments I'm trying to pick up. Really? I'm sincere when I tell you. I want to talk to you about some of the company we have. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Would you please note here, as the apostle points out, the company that revilers are in. The reviler, he's teamed up here with abusers of self, teamed up with thieves, drunkards, effeminate, fornicators, adulterers. That's pretty fast company, I think. Tell me the difference between a whoremonger and a rumormonger. There's here, they're all one. Praise the Lord. And you're no better than a $3 bill. You're no better than a thief. You're no better than an adulterer. If you will not take your tongue and sanctify it and speak rightly, hear that. Do you realize one of the commandments? Thou shalt not bear false witness. You'd be surprised at some of the rumors people hear that aren't truth at all.
Amen.
And they will tell that. Did you know that James said if you break one of those commandments, you broke all of them.
Amen.
That means all of you who let your mouth run free Say what you want, hear any idle tale, and do not have anything to substantiate it, yet you get out there and say it openly that it's right. If you want to believe, all that bother. And then after telling all that, they find out it's not so. Uh-huh. What do you do then? Well, I won't tell it anymore. No, you've already ruined people.
Right.
How are you going to patch it up? How many of you can remember how many folks ever got up in church and said, I lied about you, I told rumors and tales about you, and they weren't true. I'm sorry, forgive me, I want to be saved. Have you heard that lately? No. No, it don't go on in Pentecost. We're too sick and proud to stand up like they used to do it in the middle of the world.
Come on.
If we had the real Holy Ghost in our churches these days, people would have tears running down their cheeks and say, Saint, God, give me! Yeah. I have lied about you. I have spread rumors.
Yeah.
If they weren't true in the name of God, why do I repeat it?
All right. Amen.
Praise God. Turn into Proverbs again, chapter 21, verse 18. Listen to it. Verse 18. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a moth, and a sword and a sharp arrow. You ever see a moth? You men that's ever split wood, worked out guns, see a moth? God knows the sledgehammer blows that have been directed against the saints of God. Our worst enemies come now from within.
Sure.
Praise the Lord. The devil has come into the field of God and sowed terror. Some people sitting in this very church tonight, you are nothing but terror. You never will be weak. You never were.
All right.
The devil sold you in our churches.
All right.
Mambo. Character assassinated.
All right.
They need to break down the efforts of the people of God.
Yeah.
Try to hammer your faith into the ground.
Right.
And they are sharp swords and daggers and arrows.
All right.
No wonder we have to plead the blood and wrestle on the sword.
Oh.
To get victory and get on top of all of that. The book's right.
Amen.
Come on. How many padlocks on the doors in our country because of somebody just can't keep still? I hope. I pray. You know the first thing I did when I took this church? Some of you saints don't know what I did. First thing I did, as soon as I got here, I started reaching the book's right. The Bible's right. Stand with the Word of God more than you'll stand with mother, father, brother, sister, or best friend.
That's right.
I didn't know. I didn't know until after I was here a few days that I realized what I was in. God's your Baptist. I was here 6 weeks, whenever it was, and left California. When the Joe wanted me to stay another month or so, I said, no, I wouldn't come to Indiana. Back to Indiana at Brother Urshan's church, was merged with the other church they had there in Indianapolis, and called me back. I don't want to go there. I'm a Westerner doctor. I'm a California goodbye. And I went goodbye. And I went out there and they called me. I guess they tried to get me, Brother Anderson. 4 months. Brother Gray said, Brother Ballester, there's a phone call here for you. I said, don't answer the phone call. And they wrote a letter. There's a letter coming in, so I don't answer it. And I think I received a couple of people here tonight who wrote me some letters. I had a preacher from Brother Haney there and stopped it. And after 4 months, I thought, well, I don't want to go. I like cold things. And I finally got down to pray in a little church there. Had one person. On the way home, the revival from my mom had 13 young people singing in choir. I got down and prayed. I said, now look, here are these people coming. They want me to let it out. God. Well, I'll pray. I'll be honest with God and pray. And so I got down and prayed. As I prayed, God told me, "Pack your bags. You're going to South Bend." So I said, "Well, you got to load that trailer. We're going to go South Bend." Well, they haven't even decided on the pastor. God told me I'm going to South Bend. I'm going to South Bend.
All right.
I don't know what God thought to me.
Praise God.
I sold my car to get here. Another guy, this is the one that bought this church, they sent him $500 to come on. They sent me a dime. Look out of here. Praise the Lord.
All right.
I got here. Take that. Praise the Lord.
All right.
I just told you what happened. You have food on me. I don't like to pay.
Praise God.
And so I began to preach a little bit, try to help. And I saw, well, what we're going to have to do here is to try to rebuild people and get a standing. If I preach to you, stand with a book. Stand with a book. Your book's right. If all you have is fellowship with a friend, you still haven't got it right.
Amen.
If all that you have is, I love the music of that church, you still haven't got the gospel. Or I said, I love that preacher and his beautiful style. I'm glad that you have a preacher that has a beautiful style. I'm glad that he's affectionate, personable, and I'm thankful for all of that. But you still better fall in love with this man. You know what I mean, sir? I don't want to be lost. I walked out of that church in Assembly of God where I started to preach. They had 400 something. And I came into one that had 40. I was preaching in the one that church was a little old. Some of them had 10, 15, 20. I had a man come, said, "I'm a superintendent of this Northwest, another denomination. I want to give you a church that you got 500 in." And I'm telling you, in the early 40s, 500 was a big church. And so I said, "No, I said, "There, Brother Adams had that little church there in Washington. I was preaching." And I walked in there and said, "I was to be preached." I said, "No, thank you. I want you to walk in." He said, "What'd you do?" I went in prayer room and said, "God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. Here's this man. He wanted me to take that church, and I don't sound like a positive enough one of God after another preacher. They think that I'd even take that."
All right.
No standards, nothing else. No, this is the way I'm going.
Great job.
I placed my heart a long time ago.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, who is our problem? Malls, shock swords,
all right.
Arrows.
Right.
You shoot them at the song here. Shoot them at the...
Come on.
Shoot them at the preacher.
Come on.
Kill them all you want to. I've got on the whole armor of God.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Go on home and spend the rest of the week sharpening them up. Get ready for your Sunday. The other time, I still have on the whole armor
of God. Yes, glory.
I've told the saints everywhere I've been, there's not enough devils in hell to find the man of God when he makes a plan.
That's all right.
All right. We come try to preach for a sinner, or somebody prays you can preach for a sinner, and then begin to put the squeeze on you. We've been around long enough to know how to drop that point and get back on you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, now listen to me, children. If you really want help from God, nobody here but us tonight, we just preach here and all a little bit. But I hope that you realize we have the power of life and death, of life and death in our time. Right. Is there any help for us? Is there any bomb in Gilead? Have you not longed and aspired and yearned and cried and sobbed for a revival? What revival do we want? Well, I wish we had a revival of conscience. Not only a revival of prayer, but just a revival of being loving, caring. Say, "Well, you're not very loving." Well, this is spring cleaning. I have to do this every now and then. If we don't, you'd be surprised what gets into our church.
Amen.
You'd be surprised cobwebs hanging here. We have to do this.
Right.
And a man loves you when he is preaching to you what is proper.
Right.
It's There's security in a place where somebody will tell you what's wrong.
Right.
If somebody overlooks your flaws, perhaps those flaws are fatal. And then what?
Uh-oh. My God.
Oh. So I want to bring this thought to you in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Let's read that. Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me! For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It's always improper to try to give you a diagnosis of your problem without presenting it to you. And here, the great prophet Isaiah, he has come now with this cure for our time. Oh, let me remind this church this session. Do you remember when we had a revival here? In the summertime when there was such a move of God that we opened the windows. Of course, there was no air conditioning. We just blew the big fans in the back. Do you remember all the neighbors on the streets? This side of the street here and across the street there. Night after night, week after week after week. Do you remember the songs, how lustily you sang? Do you remember you sang until your throats were sore as you worshipped your God? As we carried you home drunk, you couldn't drive? Speaking in tongues, you're out of the spirit. Do you remember? Do you remember staggering up from the prayer rooms and falling on your face here?
Oh,
you
God.
Two or three or four of you laid out like dead men in the aisles.
Yes. Yes.
What's happened? Talk. Has it helped you? You thought you were right, perhaps, but surely the Holy Ghost has talked to you. Do you feel good about it now? Just a moment. The seraphim. You say, what are these? Well, these were creatures. Many interpretations for this message, let me say. The seraphims had six wings. You'll find the cherubim and the seraphim in the Bible. They both are associated for the work of the sanctuary. If you are a student of the tabernacle, as you go through the tabernacle in its typical teaching, you will note that everything in there portrays Christ, Christ, Christ. Whether it's the veil, or the table of shewbread, the candlestick, the two altars, the brazen and the golden, whether it's the priest or the lamb upon that altar, all of it, the fire, name it, the vestments of the priest and all of this is emblematic, represented here, Christ is all through there. And then, of course, into the second veil, or the Holy of Holies, we find there is the Ark of the Covenant. You remember what was contained therein? There was the tables of stone for the Ten Commandments. And there was the rod that Aaron had, which budded overnight, the almond tree staff he had. And there was the bowl of manna, three things. Everything in there. When the priest went through, he sprinkled blood. All of this portrays is typical, emblematic, it is teaching Jesus. It all. He did it all. There was none else could save. Therefore, his own arm brought him salvation.
Yes.
Praise God. No none could help. And he looked without earth's teeming, sobbing millions. No help but God. And he came down. And no. And we find the cherubim. And what are these? They face one another. One here and one there. The ark between them, like so. And the blood is sprinkled on the mercy seat. And these creatures are facing one another. They have two wings. Two of these wings they use to cover the face. Two covers their feet, and two they're used for flying. Praise the Lord. Throughout the tabernacle, everything is a story of redemption. But yet, there is nothing in there that says what is the object or the fruit of redemption. Man. Say, who are these living just off of the cross? No angel could be placed in a figure like this. God carefully, distinctly told Moses, don't make any representation, no image of anything in heaven or on earth. I remember the young boy when I left the Catholic Church, I was preaching revival somewhere down in Texas. I looked over here at the bleeding heart of Jesus and Mary and everything. I took them and broke them over the pulpit.
But
I don't want that. I got out of there. Reached another place in the Los Angeles area. They had another picture there, and here's some lady preached to the elder. She got down there and she saw this picture of Jesus with the thorn crown on the cross. She made a sign of the cross. She prayed on it. Get all that stuff off. Besides, he's not on the cross anymore.
Amen.
He's risen.
Right. Hallelujah.
He's risen. Praise the Lord. Moses says you can't make any representation, any likeness of anything in heaven or earth. Lord, all right. So then he takes these beings, there's nothing like that we've never seen before. These are just representative images portraying of what we shall be. You say, well, Brother, you mean that? Man, that's the church in the Old Testament, in my mind, and in the New Testament. Now, with the seraphim means the burning one, the cherubim, shining one. But let me say here that we have these beautiful creatures. They cover their face. God give us people that will know how to exercise and own humility in our days. We do not have enough people that know how to close their eyes.